Leah Crenshaw-Pepke might be living the dream. She's a musician who actually gets paid to work her craft. She also has an administrative day job that she loves and a family life. How does she do it? Do you think she's going to tell us? Probably not, but we're going to talk about music and life anyway. I'm your host, Emma Brecon, and that's what's coming up next on Through the Eyes of Women, right here on KHSU. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women, a program about the lives and perspectives of women local, national, and international. We're in the studio with my very talented and delightful good friend, Leah Crenshaw-Pepke. You may have seen her singing with multiple bands at clubs and casinos and weddings and private parties all over Humboldt County. Hello, Leah. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Leah, right before we got in here, did you tell me it was a little bit odd talking about yourself?
Oh, it is incredibly odd talking about yourself.
And are you center stage with a microphone in your hand a few nights a week most of the time?
Absolutely, but two very different worlds. When you're on stage, you're acting, you're putting on a show. When you're out here talking to people, you're bare. It's very, very nervous.
Ooh. All right, we're getting bare. Let's get bare. Tell us about your bands.
Well, I'm in two bands. I'm in a band called The Bump Foundation, which is a funk and soul band. I'm also in Eyes Anonymous, which is an 80s cover band.
Now, can we talk about that? Because I am a fan of Eyes Anonymous, and you guys are incredibly talented. And it's really hard to say 80s cover band with a straight face sometimes.
Yeah, I would say so. When you say you're in an 80s cover band, you either get a look of glee or a look of chagrin, definitely. Playing in a covers band is really rewarding, actually, because so many people just love the 80s.
How does Eyes Anonymous choose which songs from the 80s they're going to play? Because obviously lots and lots of music came out during that decade. You're very strict about playing only music from the 80s, no 1979, no 1990. How do you choose which songs are going to be in the Eyes repertoire?
I would say it's a mix of two or three elements. The first element is, do we love this song? So that leads us towards playing some very obscure things that not a lot of people know about. And then there's the crowd pleasers. The, will this song go over well? Is this a great sing-along? Is this going to get a crowd pumped up? And the third is whether or not we can successfully translate that song ourselves. Because if we can't play it, then, well, we're not going to do it.
So what are some of the crowd pleasers?
Oh, gosh. Crowd pleasers are going to be, things like the Go-Go's, songs by Madonna, on the rock and roll side, you know, Journey, Bon Jovi, things like that.
Did you say obscure?
Yeah, I would say some more obscure music. I couldn't even tell you the names of some of the bands that do the songs. There's a song called Mirror in the Bathroom, which is fabulous. That's the English beat. We've done some very weird things in our day, and occasionally we have been known to pull out a metal tune or two.
And I've been wondering this because we're approximately the same age. We came up at approximately the same time. Is 80s music actually special, or do we love it because of our age?
I'd say 80s music is special. It's both. The 80s was a time that saw the cementing of these several different genres, but two in particular that really speak to me, punk rock and rap. So you had those genres created in the 70s, but they really came into their own in the 80s. And then there was just this wide variety of sounds. I mean, it was the birth of the modern electronic music era, new wave, things like that coming up. And the 80s are also special because of the nostalgia. There are so many people who are my age. When they hear the songs, they are immediately swept back to that junior high school or high school moment, you know, hiding under the bleachers or at the high school prom, your first girlfriend or boyfriend. And I even know younger people who, even though they didn't live through it, they definitely have a strong appreciation for the 80s.
They do. They're not just making fun of us.
I don't know if they're making fun of us or if they're joining in on the fun with us.
Am I just a cranky old lady if I point out that our pop stars at least wrote their own songs and played their own instruments?
Oh, you know, I think that is a little bit of a cranky old lady statement. There are several young pop stars who are so talented, and as much polish and shine and overproduction as there is in the music industry right now, I think kids today who are coming up have so much music to pull from as far as their influences that there's a lot of talent. You just got to dig for it.
And then let's talk about Bump Foundation. What kind of band is that? Where do they get their sound?
The Bump Foundation is a funk and soul band. We've been playing in Humboldt for over 15 years now, and the band, other band members playing in other bands as the core group for much longer than that. The sound is from the classic era of funk. So you're talking about things like James Brown, Parliament and Funkadelic, Sly and the Family Stone. The guys in the band are music nerds to a T. They've basically given me a crash course education in the world of funk. Oddly enough, I'm the only black person in the band, and yet I have been educated on the world of funk by these wonderful guys. They're obsessive about their love of this music.
And what did you need to learn in your education about funk?
Well, you know, I knew a lot on the soul side of the things that we do. I grew up listening to lots of soul music, but I did not know a lot about funk. I mean, I wasn't very hard-pressed to know anything beyond some of the most recognizable tunes. I've now learned about more obscure artists like Lynn Collins, who actually was a backing singer for James Brown. I've delved more into the world of soul music. I really, really found a deep love for Donny Hathaway, who is, while somewhat well-known, a lot of people don't know a lot about his full music catalog and the story of his life, which is just, it's not only sad, but beautiful at the same time. And then this world of new funk music that's coming out. Bands like the New Master Sounds, Orgone, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. So we feel really honored to be taking part in this thing that's a living, breathing organism. Funk never dies.
Amen to that. What's your origin story, Leah? What got you into music?
Oh, wow. I feel like I've been making music since I was born, essentially. I come from a family that obviously appreciates music a lot. My mom, while not a professional singer, was always singing, always had music going on around the house, old doo-wop tunes, soul music, 50s girl groups. I have an uncle who was actually in an old doo-wop soul group called the Ink Spots.
Yeah, you tried to just slip that past me like a casual, no big deal kind of thing the other day. And I think we all know if I didn't care.
Well, yeah, but you know, he was in a later era of the Ink Spots. But still, the band was very popular, and I love talking with him about the old days and going through the memorabilia that he has. Huge influence. And, you know, everyone in my family appreciates and loves music a lot. I sang from the first moment I could remember. I also sang in school, in choirs, any moment that I could get a chance to sing, musical theater. I definitely did like governor's honor singing in high school and trios. And my wish when I got to college was to actually do music theater professionally. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to go to school in New York. It sort of took the wind out of my sails a little bit. So I kind of backed down, didn't think I could do music, especially growing up where I did in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a music city. It's very competitive. And there are so many talented people out there that I felt like, well, I'm just a drop in this giant bucket of music, and there's no way I'm gonna make it, as it were. So I kind of pulled back, and I wasn't really focusing on making music. I was focusing on just enjoying music. And then when I moved to the Northwest, it definitely rekindled itself through a series of happy accidents, and here I am.
So music was just always in your life from the very start. Was there a music of your childhood, or were you just drinking in all of it?
Oh, gosh. I was definitely drinking in as much as I could. I was the only girl I knew in the seventh grade who was totally into hair metal bands. But at the same time, I was listening to Lionel Richie and Diana Ross and Madonna and anything that was popular. I didn't really get into some of the more unique pieces of music out there until I got to college. I was an only child, so I didn't have that advantage. A lot of people who have older brothers or sisters did, where they would introduce their younger sibling to a really cool piece of music. So I would say, like, the first time I really felt like music was mine was when I stumbled upon a singer-songwriter out of Boston named Juliana Hatfield. I became obsessed with this woman. It made it my goal to learn as much as I could from her. She was the reason I learned how to play guitar and felt comfortable singing in front of people in the first place, even though we couldn't be further apart in differences in sounds. But that was a moment when I realized, oh my gosh, this is in my soul and I have to do this.
But Leah, which hair bands?
Goodness gracious, let's see. I'm going to really embarrass myself right now.
Yes.
Queensryche, Enough's Enough, and of course Poison.
That's nothing but a good time, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, smoking in the boys' room. Cece DeVille was a revelation.
Leah, I asked you if you would share a song with us today, and you agreed. Would you like to introduce your accompanist for us?
Absolutely. With me today is the lead guitarist and crazy fellow bandmate of Eyes Anonymous with me, Richard La Preziosa.
Richard, what are you playing? I see a lot of strings on this guitar.
I call it a friendly heirloom, not a family heirloom, because it was passed on to a bunch of friends of mine back in New York. And I ended up with it, and it always had a special place in my heart. And it's a Fender 12-string, cheap guitar.
Excellent. Well, thanks for being here today. Guys, when you're ready.
Must we play this game? I don't care where we go. I don't care what we do. I don't care, pretty baby. Just take me with you. I don't care if we spend the night at your mansion. Your perfection.
Thank you.
Drive me crazy, drive me all night. Just don't break the connection. Don't care where we go. I don't care what we do. I don't care, pretty baby. Just take me with you. I don't care where we go. I don't care what we do.
I don't care, pretty baby, just take me with you. Just take me with you. I want to take me with you.
All right. You are listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I'm your host, Emma Bracon, and we are speaking to the golden-voiced local chanteuse, Leah Crenshaw-Pepke. Leah, thank you for performing before the break.
Oh, my God. You're welcome. You're so welcome.
I asked you before when we were talking about maybe what songs you would sing today, what you most like to sing, what makes you just feel great singing. And you were a little demure in your answer because you collaborate with real working musicians. So can you tell us a little bit about being in a working band with working musicians?
Being in a working band is frustrating at times. It's definitely demanding, but it is so worthwhile. Usually you have 4 to 6 very disparate personalities who all have to work together, get along, regardless of what's going on with your day and your job and your family. And although most of the time we find music to be a refuge, a place where we can all get together and just let it all hang out, sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you butt heads. But I have found, you know, more often than not, we're another family. It's another kind of family. So even though we're out there, we're working hard, we're getting to our gigs on time, we're setting up, we're doing the things we need to do, and we're getting paid for it, a lot of times it just feels like a party you get to go to like every weekend. It's a little amazing.
Does it mean that maybe sometimes if I'm enjoying one of your shows, maybe not everybody on the stage loves the song exactly as much as everyone else on stage?
I would say that is about 100% correct.
Oh!
Yeah, there are times where I've had to sing songs where I am not a fan of it or I am exhausted. I'll give you a great example. We just played Blue Lake Casino, Eyes Anonymous, just this past Saturday, and it wasn't an insane kind of a night. There was a wedding party, a bachelorette party, 2 birthday parties, and various and sundry crazy people all assembled in this room.
All that in one room?
All in one room. And I was feeling a little tired. I have a little bit of low energy. So it took me until about the second set to really start feeling like, oh, I'm having fun. But it doesn't matter. You put a smile on your face, you get up there, you do the work.
Because you're professional, and that's why you were here 10 minutes early today at the studio.
Oh, well, I'm also Virgo.
Leah, I want to hear about what you think might be the weirdest gig you've ever played.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Weirdest gig. I'm going to take it way back, old school Humboldt style. I would say that the weirdest gig would definitely be with the very first band I had here in Humboldt. We were called Bias, and we played at, oh gosh, the place that used to be the Alibi in Eureka. And we opened for a little punk band called Fishbone. I was very excited at the time, thinking, oh my gosh, we're opening for Fishbone. How could this actually be happening? Turns out it wasn't actually Fishbone. It was the lead singer of Fishbone, Dre, and a whole new bunch of musicians. I did not know at the time that Fishbone was going through a legal battle for their music rights and the name. And so there were 2 touring Fishbones at that time. But regardless, you know, we had a great time playing our show. And when we got down off the stage, even though we were just kind of a weird little band that didn't fit in anywhere, Dre made a point of coming up to me and telling me how much he really enjoyed what we were doing. And he liked my voice. And,
oh, my goodness.
I just about lost it.
Excellent. What's it like being a wedding singer? Tell us a little something about weddings.
Oh, my gosh. Weddings are by equal parts amazing and frustrating.
Do you have a ballpark on how many you've performed at?
Oh my goodness. I think I'm getting close to 100 now. easily. Some of them are so much fun. You get to be a part of people's most treasured day. You're going to be a part of their memories forever. And other times, you know you're never going to make them happy no matter what you do.
Ooh, well, what does that say about them?
Oh, you know, sometimes it's a lack of communication between the parties involved. Other times it's just, you know, weddings are stressful. It's a stressful day. So, yeah, I usually say that we try and accommodate almost anything that that couple wants, we try and do. But I've definitely played some weddings where there were some unhappy people. I would just say, if you're ever planning on getting a wedding band, make sure you know what they sound like before you book them.
Oh, good heavens. Did that really need to be said? I guess it did need to be said.
Yeah, definitely in Humboldt. Yeah.
Okay, you got that, people? All right. Know what band you're hiring before you hire them. Good. I'm glad we had this talk, Humboldt. Okay. Leah, I want to hear about some of the craziest stuff you've seen on the wedding dance floor.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, grandpas and uncles really know how to get down. And probably one of the craziest things I saw was when a girl's uncle got up with his saxophone and joined in with the funk band, played along with us.
Did he talk to you before he did that?
For about 2 seconds. It turned out great. He was wonderful.
So just because we love you so much, Leah, can we have you serenade us again?
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure.
Okay.
I'm in the dark and light to read his mind, but I'm frightened of the things I might find. There must be something he's thinking of to tear him away. Hey, when I tell him that I'm falling in love, why does he say, hey, hush, hush, keep it down, down, voice is scary. Hush, hush, keep it down, down, voice is scary. Try so hard not to get upset, because I know all the trouble I'll get. Oh, he tells me tears are something to hide and something to fear, yeah. But I try so hard to keep it inside so no one can hear. Hush, hush, keep it down, down, voices carry. 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 Down, down, voices carry. Whoa, whoa, hush, hush, darling, keep away down here. Hush, hush, voices carry. Oh, he said, shut up, he said, shut up. Oh, God, can't you? Can't you? carry. Hush, voices carry.
Thank you so much, Leah Crenshaw Pepke and Richard La Preciosa with Voices Carry by that venerable, well-known band with such a long string of albums, Till Tuesday.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one of our favorites.
So we've talked about a lot of your past bands and the bands you're working with now, Leah. Got any big upcoming projects in the works?
Well, yeah, now that you mention it, I have an upcoming project that I'm baking inside myself right now. I'm going to be a mom.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah, we're due in February around Valentine's Day, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, being a first-time mom at the age of 40, it's a little daunting, but my husband is literally a rock.
What parts are you most nervous and most excited about?
Oh, gosh. Most nervous about literally passing on my genes to another person who will eventually grow up and tell me, oh, my gosh, you're doing everything wrong. But I'm most happily excited about teaching them everything about the world, introducing them to the world, all my favorite music, and, of course, all my favorite geeky things. We actually already have the first Star Wars viewing planned.
Oh, well, that's just good parenting right there. That's just important stuff. Have you laid out how you will be introducing your kid to music?
I think that's going to happen prenatally, actually. As long as I'm singing, I'm hoping that the kid will hear some things. And because I tend to surround myself with music and musicians, I'm hoping they're just going to pick it up as they live and breathe naturally.
Pat Benatar, when she was pregnant, she changed her sound, went for some softer songs. Have you thought about adjusting what you're singing at all for your little alien?
Well, I tend to run the gamut from really loud to really soft, so I think I don't need to adjust too much. There's always going to be a time and a place for everything.
Leah, you are going to be balancing a couple of bands, and I already can barely wrap my mind around how you function as a professional with a bunch of other professional musicians in separate bands doing separate things. I already don't know how you handle that. How are you going to balance that with a home life, a husband, a house that you didn't buy too long ago, but you're going to get all those repairs done before you have the baby? That's just all locked, right, Travis?
Oh, yeah, totally.
And a baby. How are you going to make it all work?
I don't think there is such a thing as making it all work. We don't really have a plan. We're just going to dive in and do it. We have a lot of great friends and a lot of family around us who are going to give us support, so I think that's going to be the real key.
What a great note for the future. Well, Leah, just thank you so much for coming in today and sharing with us and singing for us. It's been a real pleasure. And Richard, thank you too for the beautiful music. We are very grateful to have you here in our studio for Through the Eyes of Women. Not every man gets in here.
No.
So thank you very much.
Thank you too. I just want to give a quick shout out. I have a cousin who's a music blogger and everybody should listen to her blog. It's called 50% Hipster and she knows everything about the world of music. So yay, go Joy.
You have been listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I've been your host, Emma Brakan, and I've been speaking with Humboldt singer Leah Crenshaw-Pepke. Through the Eyes of Women is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University. Thanks to today's engineer, Katie Whiteside, and to our entire production team. And thank you so much, Richard La Preciosa, for the great guitar music. You can listen to this show again anytime in Through the Eyes of Women's permanent blog archives. Visit our blog at khsuwomen.com and join us again next Monday at 1:30 right here on KHSU.